going to deal with tonight is strictly what the Scripture says. And let me say this about angels. There are a lot of people who have speculation about them. They have their own thoughts about them, all right? But what we're going to do is spend the time tonight to see exactly what the Scripture has to say about them as we go through and kind of dig just a little bit deeper into all of it, all right? So when you look at number 12 in your notes, and as we make our way down through here, it says we may define angels as follows. And here's what they are. They're created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, okay? But they're without physical bodies. So when you think about that, and most people don't, you know, most people did not know this, and there are many Christians who don't know this, that angels are created beings, right? That's what they are. They were created by God for God, and that's just what they are. That's who they are. Number 13 is interesting because some of the angels sinned and fell from their positions, and that's what we refer to as moral judgment. We know that they had moral judgment because they made a conscious decision. I use the word conscious. They made a moral decision, and it basically cost them, all right? And they were put out, of course, of heaven, and we'll see that. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're just going to spend some time going through this very slowly, all right? 2 Peter chapter number 2 is where we'll start, and then we're going to go over to the book of Jude, all right? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And I want you to notice what it says. For if God spared not the angels, and you ought to underline this, for if God spared not the angels that sinned. You see that? The actual use of the word there, that sinned. And then notice the next part, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We do know that at one point in time, at the end of the thousand-year reign, the abyss or the pit's going to be opened. Okay? And those will be released, all right, to deceive the nations. Satan will deceive the nations for a short period of time. We don't know how long that is, all right? So we do know that, you know, there were a portion of them that fell, all right, and they were cast out of. Let's flip over to Jude chapter 6, and we'll get a little bit more, description of this that Jude gives us. Jude verse 6, all right? And you'll see a very similar thought even from Jude, right? Jude verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Right? So we know there was a moral judgment made by them. And of course, Satan being one of them. And the angels that followed him, and they were cast out of heaven. All right? Everybody understand that? Okay? Number 14. Now, number 14 is going to be a little bit more difficult for you. All right? I'm going to give you a change on number 14. And it was my error on 14. Not yours, don't worry about it. 14 should read, their high intelligence is seen in Scripture as they spoke to people and offered praises to God. I want you to scratch the word saying and put offered praises to God, all right? And I will give you the reason behind that in just a few moments, but offered praises to God, not saying praises to God, all right? And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. All right, let's go to Matthew 28 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 5. And we know that there's intelligence, high intelligence there. When we see some of the interaction of the angels, you know, with those who even came to the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead. And you'll see that here in Matthew chapter 28. And if you'll look at verse number 5, and I want you to notice what, and the angel answered and said. So we know the angel spoke, okay? Spoke to the women in a very audible voice. Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. So we know that there was, you know, high intelligence. They spoke to those that were there. So we know that the angel spoke. We know that from the scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. And we'll start in verse number 6. And many of you know this account. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound in the prison. And Peter is going to be set free. But this is an interesting, you know, this is a very interesting account here. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse number 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door that kept the prison. So put him between two guards, double chained him, and put guards outside of his cell. Verse number 7. Now I want you to see this. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, and here's what he said. Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. All right? So you see that there. The word in verse number 7 is an interesting word, the word saying. It actually comes from the Greek word laego, and it means to speak. That's what it means. So the translation here of saying or laego means to actually speak. So we know that that's what took place, all right? Verse 8, and the angel said, here again it's the same Greek word, said unto him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, cast your garment before you and follow me. So he went out, followed him, and wist not or did not know that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He just had no idea that Peter thinks he's having a vision as he's watching all of this, okay? Didn't know that it was true, which was done by the angel. In verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. The angel was gone. And then when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel. And you ought to underline that. The Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So we see that the messenger of God, the angel of God, was sent to Peter to intervene on Peter's behalf. All right, but it's the use of the word saying, all right? And I told you in number 14 of the notes, their high intelligence is seen in Scripture as they spoke to people, okay? And that's key because we're gonna get into a little bit more, and I'm going to show you a little bit more of this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 5. Verse number 11. All right. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And I want you to notice here, they didn't sing. Look at verse number 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I want you to notice the word saying. Okay? Not singing, but the word saved. Now, it's interesting when you look in verse number 11, and I'm going to deal with this as we get on a little bit further into this, because I'm going to deal with it in the last part of the notes. And we'll come back. Don't worry about the word beast there. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about that. There's two different schools of thought here. Okay, and one of the things that we're going to see is as we go through and we talk about these angels some more, and you're going to see that, that the angels praised God. Now there are two schools of thought here. There is a school of thought that do not believe that the angels sang. And I will tell you, every time that in the book of the Revelation where you have singing taking place by the saints underneath the throne of God, or the elders that were around the throne of God, they were singing a song of redemption. Okay? The angels cannot sing the song of redemption. Okay? Now, there are those, and this is where you have to be careful. There is a couple of translations out there that instead of using the word saying with a loud voice in verse number 12 of Revelation 5, they have translated it with the word singing. If you go back and actually look at the Greek text, okay, in the actual Greek text, in verse number 12, saying comes from the same Greek word that I showed you earlier, laego, which means speaking, not singing. The Greek word for singing is actually the Greek word abdo, okay, which speaks of singing. They're two different distinct Greek words here, okay? And so depending on which Greek translation was used or which Greek text was used in the translation will also determine where they arrived at that translation. Now, let me say this. There are some, when it comes to translations, who do not use formal equivalent translation. They use what we refer to as an interpretive translation. And some will take and interpret the passage of Scripture based upon what they think the rendering should be. And there are some who believe that they didn't just speak this, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom, but they actually sang that. So what they will do, even though the Greek word there may be laego, okay, versus ado, they'll still interpret it, okay, and make the modification there. So what you have to do is go back and read the Greek text and look and see what the Greek text says and see what the sense of that word is when you look at the context and you look at the text, okay? But I want you to keep this thought in the back of your mind when it comes to angels. They cannot sing the song of redemption. What purpose would they have of singing the song of redemption? Okay, because they were not redeemed. So what does praises mean? And here's what they'll also say. They'll say, well, praises means singing. Okay. Can you praise God through singing? Yeah, you can. Okay. But the context of the word praises there, it does not mean singing. Okay. The context of the word praises, when you see it in these passages of Scripture, is this. It's to speak of the excellence of a person. To speak of the excellence of a person. Okay? So that you have to look at the sense and the context of the words there to get a true understanding of the context of the passage. Does everybody look at me and go like this? I got you. Okay? I got you covered. I told you, it's... If you're not careful, especially when it comes to the doctrine of angels, you would just not believe the amount of books that are written out there on the subject of angels, okay? Most of it having to do with the wicked side, not the spiritual side from God, okay? Because there's so much... But here's where you can stay out of trouble. Just go by what the Word says. And leave the rest of it to the side. Okay? And just leave the rest of it there. Let's go to number 15. Okay? Now, Scripture sometimes uses other terms for angels, such as sons of God, holy ones, spirits, watchers, thrones, dominions, principalities, and authorities. Okay? You do find the use of those in making reference to the heavenly host. Okay? The host, legions of angels. Okay? All of those type of things that you see. Let's go to Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. Right? Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. I'm going to cover another piece here that there is a division even among scholars as to what this phrase. I'm just going to show it to you, okay? I'm not going to get into debate here whether or not it is or it isn't, okay? All right? But you see the phrase here in Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. There are many Bible scholars when you read, depending on which notes you have, if you've got a study Bible, depending on who wrote the study notes there, you may get a rendering of this phrase in verse number 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, there are some Bible scholars who do not believe that that was angels. There are some Bible scholars who believe that that were some of the Old Testament saints that were there, and I'm thinking, I don't know where you get that from, but anyhow, okay? So the sons of God makes reference to angels on more than one occasion. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you'll see the same phrase again. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Okay? So they were all there. Let's go to Psalm chapter 89. Psalm chapter 89. Psalm 89. I told you we were going to kind of slow down here, okay? There's just so much right here. Psalm chapter 89. I tell you what, let's just start reading in verse number 1, okay, and just read all the way down through so you get the context of this. I will sing you the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. If you don't know, there's a song written right around Psalm 89, all right? Verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Greatly, or God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about him, okay? So all of the host that is there in heaven, all right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Told you they were referred to as spirits, all right? You're going to see that here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. And notice what it says. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? To minister for them who are going to be the heirs of salvation. Amen? Let's go back to Daniel. All right, Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, in verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. Verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Then verse 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. All right, so you see that phrase of what the angels are also referred to. And then let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Many of you will know this, all right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth. Now watch this, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him. And why were they created? For him. Okay? All right. Now I'm going to give you a little note here. Listen very closely. How many of y'all have heard the term archangel? Okay. So what is an archangel? Well, the word arch, okay, in front of the word angel, from the Greek word, actually means of high rank. That's what it means, okay, of high rank. What's interesting is when you go throughout all of Scripture, it is only found twice in the New Testament. That is the only place it's found. It's not found anywhere else in the Scripture, but in two places, and both places are in the New Testament. Now, this is probably going to be something that you did not realize. There is only one angel that is called an archangel. Only one. And that's Michael. Okay? And we do have another reference in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, I have heard, okay, and have read, some think that the archangel in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will be Gabriel. The other places in Scripture that Gabriel is mentioned, he's not referred to as an archangel, but Michael is. Okay? I'm going to show all this to you, so I know some of y'all are looking up here towards me, okay? It was only given to Michael, okay? I'm going to take you to the first one. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 first, okay? How many of y'all have quoted this verse? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, okay? And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We've said that over and over and over again, haven't we? I mean, have you ever heard anybody say that when Gabriel blows the trumpet? I'm going to show you something tonight, okay? Based on the Scripture. Chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, could Gabriel blow the trumpet? Yes. Could he? P- possibly. But there's a shout with the voice of the archangel. Let's go to Jude. Let's go back to the book of Jude. And look at verse number 9. So who's the archangel? As far as we know, now, listen, I've heard others say, well, there's other archangels. Maybe. But the Scripture doesn't give us any, does it? See, only two places that you find that reference, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Jude verse 9. Only two places. All right? Now, let's talk about Gabriel for a minute. Let me ask you a question. Was Gabriel a special angel? Yeah, he was. He was. Okay? What do you know about Gabriel? Huh? Yes, let's go to Luke chapter 1, okay? Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. I tell you what, isn't this fun? Isn't this good? Huh? Luke chapter 1. Here's good old Zacharias, okay? Imagine being Zacharias. Well, matter of fact, let's look up in verse 18, all right? And Zacharias said unto the angel, as the angel appears to Zacharias, and he said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, speaking. So Gabriel is speaking to Zacharias, and here's what he said. I'm Gabriel. That stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. That's who Gabriel was. Look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now you notice at no point in the Scripture is the reference of Gabriel as an archangel. You don't see it. Okay? Anywhere in here. You say, well, wait a minute. What about the Old Testament? Well, let's go look. Okay? You have any idea where Gabriel was in the Old Testament? Anybody? Daniel. That's right. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Okay? Let's go to Daniel chapter 8. Yes, Gabriel is mentioned in Daniel. Matter of fact, it was Gabriel who delivered the message to Daniel. Matter of fact, he delivered the message of the 70 weeks to Daniel. Okay? Daniel chapter number 8. Look at verse 16. Now here's something. I'll tell you what, back up to verse 15. Just read the whole thing so you can see it, all right? And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So here's Gabriel having a conversation with Daniel. All right? Let's go over to chapter 9 and look at verse 21. Chapter 9 and verse 21. And David, of course, Daniel, is interceding on behalf of the people, all right? And notice as you come down to verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly, swiftly touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. The messenger of God, Gabriel. Okay? Now, Number 16. There are three other specific types of heavenly beings named in the Scripture. All right, we're getting ready to come to them now. How many of y'all have heard of the cherubim? How about the seraphim? How about the living creatures? Okay. Well, we're going to work our way down through these. All right. So there are three types. Whether we think of these as special types of angels in a broad sense of the term, or whether we think of them as heavenly beings distinct from angels, they are nonetheless created spiritual beings who serve and worship God. All right? Number 17, first are the cherubim. Now, they're interesting. It's an interesting creation. All right? Number 18, they were given the task of guarding the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So he put them out to guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Put cherubim out there. Okay? Number 19. God himself is frequently said to be enthroned on the cherubim or to travel with the cherubim as his chariot. Okay? I told you these are interesting creatures. All right? Let's go to Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 10. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 10. Psalm chapter 18. In verse number 10. You see, this is interesting. For me, this is one of those that you just kind of wonder what that must have been like, okay? Verse number 10, and he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind, speaking of God. He rode upon the cherub. Let's go to Psalm chapter 99. Psalm chapter 99 in verse number 1. And notice this one. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. He sits between the cherubim. All right? If that's not enough, okay? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 10. Ezekiel chapter number 10. None of y'all have 725. 720, that's what I've got, okay? So we got 25, 26, 27. Do I hear 28? Okay. Chapter 10, verse 1, okay? chapter 10, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1. Right? I promise I'm going to stop with Ezekiel chapter 10, okay? Chapter 10, verse 1. Notice what it says. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Look at verse 3. Now the cherubims stood on the right side of the house when the man went in and the cloud filled the inner court. Now, one of the things I want you to understand here, what's happening in Ezekiel chapter number 10 is the departing of the presence of God. Okay? Look down at verse number 5. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when He speaks. Verse 7, and one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and he took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. Verse 8, and there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. Verse 16, and when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them, and when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. Verse 19, and the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over above them. Verse 20, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Every one had four faces apiece, and every one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings, and the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went every one straight forward. The cherubim. All right? Interesting. Huh? Interesting. I wonder what it's going to be like when we see the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels and the living creatures. Huh? I just want to know what it's going to be like when we see Jesus, okay? All right? I got so much I want to see when I get there, okay? But I guess I'll have plenty of time to take it all in. Won't I? All right. What's that, Brother Charles? That's correct.